we'll talk about a case challenging the constitutionality of the state's domestic partnership registry this hour. That case goes before the Wisconsin Supreme Court tomorrow. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 22nd. Our guest will give us the arguments on both sides of this case, and we will wonder how you want the Supreme Court to decide. Does a domestic partnership registry, which grants some rights and legal protections to same-sex couples, violate the state's constitutional amendment that bans gay marriage in Wisconsin, as well as anything that is substantially similar to marriage? How do you want the state Supreme Court to rule on this one? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Howard Schwaber, professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison and affiliate faculty member of the UW Law School, the Integrated Liberal Studies Program, and the Center for the Advancement of Post-Secondary Education. He also writes a blog at the Huffington Post. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, we used to have you on the show quite frequently, but for the past couple of years, you've been overseas. What were you up to?
Well, I spent the last 2 years in Kazakhstan. I went there first as a faculty member, and then I spent a year as a vice provost at a university in Astana with which UW-Madison is a partner institution.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk a little bit about this case. The state Supreme Court is going to hear arguments tomorrow on Wisconsin's domestic partnership registry. Give us the background on this case.
Sure. So way back in 2009, Governor Doyle created this registry as part of the regular budget. And Wisconsin Family Action, which is the group headed by Jeanine Appling, who is now the plaintiff, petitioned the Supreme Court to consider the constitutionality of the case right away. The Supreme Court declined. They said they had to go through the regular process, so a lawsuit was filed in circuit court. The Attorney General, this is a really complicated background here. The J.B. Van Hollen, who was the Attorney General at the time, refused to defend the case, so Doyle hired an outside law firm. When Scott Walker came in, he fired the law firm, and under Scott Walker, the state of Wisconsin refused to defend the law. So Fair Wisconsin intervened. So it's this very complicated situation where the state of Wisconsin, whose law is being challenged, isn't really a party. The claim is also interesting. Everyone agrees that the domestic partnership law grants only some of the benefits that go with marriage. The registry provides 43 rights and benefits as compared to 200 rights and protections that are granted to married couples. What Appling is arguing, though, is that even though the protections that are granted are different, because the procedures look just like applying for a marriage license, what's happening is that the legislature is deliberately, in her words, mimicking marriage. So the argument here is not that this is the equivalent to marriage in a substantive sense, but that it is kind of a poke in the eye by the legislature to the spirit of the constitutional amendment by looking as much as possible like the procedure of getting a marriage license. And so the issue comes down to the question, in the constitutional amendment when it says we may not have something that is substantially equivalent to marriage, does that refer to the content of the protections and benefits that are provided? Or does that refer to the procedures and the appearance of the manner in which someone registers for the benefits that exist?
An appeals court last year upheld the registry, saying that married couples have a lot more benefits than those who are on the registry. So the appeals court, though, was looking at the content?
Right. So the appeals court the judge actually used the word nonsense to describe Appling's argument. When an appeals court, or when any Wisconsin court, looks at the intent of a referendum, they look at three questions: the plain language, the understanding of people at the time the referendum was adopted, the amendment was adopted, and the immediate acts of the legislature following the adoption of the amendment. And these three elements are supposed to give what you might call the original understanding of the constitutional intent. And the judge, again, he used the word nonsense to describe the proposition that at the time the amendment was adopted, people would have understood that radically different benefits didn't matter, that what really mattered was whether the licensing procedure was the same. There's kind of an interesting irony here. Appling argues that opponents of the amendment at the time claimed that it would end domestic partnerships. Fair Wisconsin points out that Appling at the time promised that that the amendment would not mean you could not have same-sex benefits. So each side is using the other side's words against them to try and claim what was the original understanding. Appling ends up in the difficult position of saying it would be perfectly okay to have a system where same-sex couples had exactly the same benefits as married couples, but it's not okay to have it have the same registration procedure. And that's just a very difficult position to defend.
Well, why? So then why doesn't the, I don't know, if that's the issue, why doesn't the state somehow change the sign-up procedures?
Well, I mean, you're right, in a sense, and Appling has a point. It does kind of look as though the legislature deliberately made this procedure look just like the marriage sign-up procedures, and maybe that was to make a point, although given that Republicans control both houses of the legislature, that doesn't seem entirely likely. But you know, it's true that there's something striking about the fact that the procedure, that it looks, I mean, even the fee is the same. The precise amount of the fee for registering a same-sex couple is the same as the amount to get a marriage license. But Appling, in her briefs in the Court of Appeals, explicitly took the position, you know, that it would be perfectly okay to have same-sex couples get all the protections and all the benefits of a married couple, that the only thing at stake is this procedural issue. And I think the Court of Appeals had a point when they said that seems nonsensical.
I have to admit, I didn't realize that was the area that Wisconsin Family Action was going after, because I thought it was that the domestic partnership registry granted benefits like marriage to a partnership that wasn't a marriage.
Well, no, and I think it's interesting. I mean, it's hard to escape the impression that Wisconsin Family is just looking for any reason to challenge this thing. There's no good argument. There's no sensible or plausible argument that the benefits being offered are the same as those offered to marriage. There's more than 150 benefits that same-sex couples don't get that married couples would get. And it's also the case that throughout the entire campaign, not only Appling, but Senator Fitzgerald, Representative Gundrum, some of the leading proponents of the amendment to ban same-sex marriage, very, very publicly in press releases and public statements, took the position, you know, look, we're not trying to stop same-sex benefits. We're not trying to compel the state or employers to refrain from giving benefits to same-sex couples. We just don't want the word marriage applied. Having taken that position, Wisconsin Family would now be in a very weak position to try to argue that granting any benefits or a subset of benefits, you know, is impermissible. So they're taking sort of the only argument that they have, which suggests that they are looking for any argument at all to challenge this registry.
Yeah. Well, looking at some of the politics here, why is the state not defending this registry?
Well, that raises a couple of interesting questions, and some of those spill over to the politics of the court. Presumably, the short answer is that Governor Walker doesn't approve of the registry, which is probably true. Generally speaking, the Republican Party doesn't approve of the registry because it does, you know, give a degree of recognition to same-sex couples. And this is painting with a broad brush, but generally in Wisconsin, Republicans are opposed to granting benefits to same-sex couples, and Democrats support granting those benefits. That's an easy call. I think, though, there's almost certainly an internal dynamic here having to do with the Tea Party. I think there are probably lots of Republicans who would be perfectly happy to support this registry, but are concerned what the reaction would be from the more extreme wing that we nowadays sort of capture with that phrase Tea Party. And the internal dynamic of the Republican Party, both in Wisconsin and nationally, is such that for the moment at least, the most extreme branch of the party seems to call the shots. So politically speaking, Walker has nothing to gain by supporting this registry and everything to lose.
We are talking with Howard Schwaber. He is a professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison. He's also an affiliate faculty member of the UW Law School. And we are talking about the state Supreme Court scheduled to hear arguments tomorrow on the state's domestic partnership registry. Is this registry constitutional or not? What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The state Supreme Court hears arguments tomorrow on whether Wisconsin's domestic partnership registry is constitutional. We're talking with a guest political and legal expert about the rationale from both sides. And we'll talk about whether this registry will likely be upheld despite the court's conservative majority. And we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Do you think that the state's domestic partnership registry should be upheld or struck down? So, Professor Schwaber, why do you think that this registry is going to be upheld?
Well, I'm not 100% sure that it will be. As I say, legally, the argument to challenge it is awfully flimsy. It takes a real bit of mental acrobatics to argue that the idea of substantial equivalence is met just because the procedures for filing the license are the same. On the other hand, you know, a comment I made a moment ago about the political position of Scott Walker and his administration applies equally to these elected justices. There is a majority on the court of conservative, primarily Republican elected justices, and they have to worry about a Tea Party challenger in their next election. This really folds into a long time discussion we've been having about the advisability of electing justices in Wisconsin. And for all that theoretically we have nonpartisan judicial elections, I don't think anyone misses the point that the way in which the state court justices rule on this case will be held against them, unquestionably, by the stronger or more extreme branches of the political spectrum come election time. And that may have a direct effect on their thinking.
I'm sorry I put words in your mouth. My producer thought that that you were leaning toward it being upheld, but you're saying that politics could very well get in the way.
Well, I hate to put things this nakedly, but frankly, legally, I can see no way that this should not be upheld. Politically, I can see a story in which the court will strike it down anyway. You know, you asked a question earlier, which was very, very interesting, which is why does the current legislature not simply alter the registration procedures, which they could easily do? And during the break, I was thinking about that. I have to confess I hadn't considered it carefully. The only answer that springs to mind is that the Republican legislature is hoping this thing will get struck down, and they don't want to change the registration procedures because they're preserving the only imaginable basis for doing so.
Well, while the arguments aren't specifically on these benefits, can you give us, without listing off all 200 or all 43, give us some idea what sorts of rights and legal protections the registry gives domestic partners? And
sure.
The areas that they are not, the rights they don't have as being unmarried partners?
Sure. So a few examples that have gotten the most attention. Under the registry law, same-sex couples who are registered, one partner can inherit a partner's estate without a will. They have rights of hospital visitation and the ability to access family medical leave to take care of a sick partner. So these are real partner care things with a real focus on medical issues. Marriage confers an enormous range of benefits, including some tax benefits and some economic benefits. And one of the key ones, I think, is that the registry law does not give same-sex couples the ability to adopt children, and presently under Wisconsin law, they can't do that. That makes Wisconsin, you know, somewhat to the right of a lot of other states, at least. And that's one, I think, very important and potentially painful issue that still needs to be addressed. The constitutionality of laws preventing same-sex couples from adopting children are under challenge in a number of places, and in the future, this is going to be an issue to be revisited.
I'm Joy Cardine with Professor Howard Schwaber talking about this case that goes before the state Supreme Court tomorrow over the constitutionality of the state's domestic partner registry. Do you want this registry to be upheld or struck down? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Back in 2006, the majority of Wisconsin voters approved a constitutional amendment that banned same-sex marriage. It defined a marriage as only between a man and a woman, and it also said a legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized in this state. Is a domestic partner registry, which grants some legal protections to same-sex couples and uses a similar procedure to sign up, substantially similar to marriage or not? How do you want the state Supreme Court to decide this one? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. John in Washington, D.C. joins us. John, you're listening to us online from Washington, D.C. Hello, John.
Hello. Absolutely, Joy. I'm born and raised in Wisconsin, and I can't get enough of Wisconsin Public Radio, so we listen to you faithfully from D.C.
Well, thank you. Well, what's your comment on this?
I'm somebody who's been involved in LGBT rights in Wisconsin and nationally, and so I first think it's important to put this in context. Marriage equality, same-sex marriage, is coming to Wisconsin. 70% of people in my generation who were born after 1980 support marriage equality. So, in the grand scheme of things, it's only a matter of time. But speaking specifically to the domestic partnership registry, I can personally tell you, my husband and I, one of the reasons we left the state was because of non-recognition of our marriage. So we have a legal marriage, and when we were in Wisconsin, we had a domestic partnership as well. And I can tell you from personal experience that those two institutions are in no way alike. You know, like the guest has said, the domestic partnership rights that are conferred are so narrow and they're so basic that there really can be no argument made that they're similar. And frankly, it shows the depth of the anti-gay prejudice, the animus of the Wisconsin Family Action Group, that they're willing to go to the state Supreme Court to prevent same-sex couples from seeing each other in the hospital. I mean, you can't get much more prejudiced and bigoted than that, and it's really sad to see that they're willing to go that far out of their way to prevent even the most basic rights to be conferred on same-sex couples. So, you know, it's really not about the constitutionality as much as it is about the level of their bigotry.
Oh, you have a reaction to that, Professor Schwaber?
I do. I have to agree on a couple of central points that John has made. Regardless of one's position on same-sex marriage or even gay rights or gay equality or any of those issues, you know, one has to be struck by the extent to which Family Action is willing to go to find some way to challenge this law. It's a far-fetched legal argument that they're making. It was dismissed on summary judgment at the circuit court and dismissed with a really contemptuous opinion at the appellate court. They're really appealing to raw politics and hoping that the court will just find some hook to nut on this law. And the guest is right. John is right. I think it shows an almost incredible intensity of desire to strike down anything that so much as smacks of state recognition of rights for same-sex couples. John made two other really interesting points that are sort of lurking in the background. One is generational. He's absolutely right. Time is on the side of same-sex marriage, according to all the polls that we have, both in Wisconsin and nationally. There are 13 states now that recognize same-sex marriage, and I'd be happy to bet money that in the next 5 years there'll be four or five more. The other point that's really interesting is that he spoke of the fact that his husband and he left the state because of this issue. And as time goes on, if the economic consequences, if the difficulty in recruiting for business or for government or education becomes substantial because of barriers to this same-sex couples, whether that's same-sex marriage or the terms of partnerships, that could become an issue that could split the business and social conservative branches of the Republican Party. These are both things to watch in the long term, although I doubt they'll have any effect in the next, tomorrow's oral argument.
John, thank you so much for the call. Let me get one more call in before our news break. John in Appleton. Hi, John. What do you think?
Hi, I'm actually for gay marriage, but I'm hoping the domestic partnership gets struck down that think that might encourage a constitutional amendment to revoke the previous constitutional amendment outlawing gay marriage.
Hmm? Well, what about that, Professor Schwinn?
It's an interesting point, right? So, as I mentioned, both sides in the litigation are pointing to statements by the other side. And Family Action is pointing to Fair Wisconsin is pointing to statements by Appling and Fitzgerald and other supporters of the amendment, saying, look, it's not that big a deal. It won't be that terrible. Same-sex couples can still have benefits. And that sort of was put out as a way of saying, don't be afraid of this amendment. It's not so bad. You know, it won't do anything so terrible. John's exactly right, I think, that if this is struck down, then the starkness of the issue will be inescapable. And it may be the case that there's a significant number of voters out there who went along with the amendment because they were reassured that it wouldn't be have too drastic an effect, who would be forced to rethink that position.
Well, we'll continue talking about this issue, this case that goes before the state Supreme Court tomorrow, the constitutionality of the state's domestic partner registry, and welcome more of your questions and views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Howard Schwaber, professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison and an affiliate faculty member at the UW Law School. Let me take a moment to thank you so much for your support during our just concluded fall membership drive. You donated more than $811,000 to fund the Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you value. Thank you so much. We are talking about a case challenging the constitutionality of the state's domestic partner registry that goes before the Wisconsin Supreme Court tomorrow. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Tuesday, October 22nd. We are hearing the arguments on both sides of this case, and we wonder how you want the Supreme Court to decide. And we're also going to talk a little bit more about what this case might mean to the future of same-sex marriage in Wisconsin. Are you hopeful that one day Wisconsin will allow same-sex marriage? Or are you in favor of the constitutional amendment that bans it? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Howard Schwaber, a professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison, an affiliate faculty member of the UW Law School. Let's talk a little bit, Professor Schwaber, as we recap in this next half hour. How might this Supreme Court case in Wisconsin tomorrow affect the efforts to legalize gay marriage in Wisconsin?
Well, so one of the callers, John and Appleton, a few moments ago made an interesting point, which is that if the registry law is struck down, then all of the arguments that said that this constitutional amendment banning gay marriage wouldn't have too terrible effect on same-sex couples, you know, might seem to fall apart. And in fact, both callers, who were both named John, earlier mentioned that they were deeply concerned that same-sex couples wouldn't get benefits that they ought to have in Wisconsin, and this could have a bad effect on business recruitment, on economic development, and so on. And, of course, it's a normative question as well. So if the law is struck down, I do think that there will be room for reviving the debate over whether the amendment was a good idea in the first place. I haven't seen any polling data. I know there are a couple of major polls being conducted that will give us some more information. So it's pure speculation, but it is possible that there's a significant number of voters out there who would find their minds changed by this outcome.
And if it's upheld, it might stifle efforts to overturn that constitutional amendment?
Well, there is this sort of ironic quality to it, right? So if the registry is upheld, same-sex couples will be able to get some legal protections and benefits, not nearly as many as married couples, which is the crux of the issue in the case. And that will strengthen the claim of those who say, see, this shows Wisconsin is not denying benefits to these couples. We just don't want to have it be exactly the same as marriage. That could dampen efforts to revive what was, after all, a hotly contested constitutional issue just a few years ago.
talk, if you will, a little bit about the significance of New Jersey Governor Chris Christie this week withdrawing his challenge to gay marriage in New Jersey and the legalization of gay marriage in New Jersey this week.
Right. Well, it's a very interesting story and a very interesting parallel. So there, the situation is kind of the opposite. There, the court, the state Supreme Court, has indicated that it will continue to, that even if there's a challenge, it will continue to say that same-sex marriage must be permitted. And Christie is not going to challenge that. He says that it's clear the state Supreme Court is going to uphold same-sex marriage, and he doesn't want to be in a position of fighting them. What makes that so interesting is that in Christie's case, it seems very clear this is a matter of him positioning himself in opposition to the Tea Party. He's trying to make himself one of the faces of, let's call it, centrist or moderate Republicans. And he has national ambitions, we think, right? So that is an explicitly political move, even though it's almost certainly true that he's right. He would have lost the legal challenge. He would have been able to say, these liberal courts are all at fault. I'm a good hardcore conservative. The politics in Wisconsin are much more right-wing than the politics in New Jersey. And our current elected officials seem much more inclined to want to ally themselves with the Tea Party to get the advantage of the strength of that movement in this state. And so, of course, the question that comes down to is, how does that politics play out with our elected Supreme Court justices?
Mm-hmm. And in New Jersey's case, New Jersey did not have a constitutional amendment like Wisconsin passed in 2006?
That's correct. And quite possibly that would have changed the outcome. So it's important to recognize that where a state constitution or a state law is at stake, the state Supreme Court's interpretation is the final word. The U.S. Supreme Court, for example, will not revisit or question the way a state Supreme Court interprets its own constitutional laws. If there's a violation of the federal constitution, that would be different. But when the state Supreme Court of New Jersey says that New Jersey's constitution requires recognition of same-sex marriage, that's really the end of the argument. So legally, Christie is exactly right. But as I say, the irony is here, the legal case against the registry is incredibly weak, but the political case might be strong. In New Jersey, the legal case against same-sex marriage looked incredibly weak, but the political case might have been much stronger if Christie had wanted to appeal to that branch of his party.
Yeah, it reminds me that way back when Wisconsin passed the constitutional amendment, the proponents for making gay marriage illegal said Wisconsin law wasn't clear enough, saying that it said a marriage shall be between a husband and a wife. But they said that that was not, it needed to be between a man and a woman.
Well, that's right. And one of the ways they pitched that was this sort of fear of the courts. You know, that if we don't mm-hmm. make this absolutely stipulative, some judge somewhere will find a way to say that two women or two men constitute husband and wife for legal purposes. So that thread has been part of the discussion since the very beginning.
So with Wisconsin's political makeup the way it is right now and Republican control of the executive and the legislative branches, I mean, how can we say, as some callers were indicating, that it's just a matter of time before gay marriage is legalized in Wisconsin?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting situation. I must say, you know, Wisconsin has always been a state with a very mixed political identity. This is the state that gave us both Bob La Follette and Joe McCarthy, after all. But right now, we are the state of Paul Ryan, the state of Ron Johnson. Wisconsin is one of the strongest Tea Party states in the country, which is not what one automatically thinks of, at least in historical perspective, when one thinks of Wisconsin politics. So there's a moment right now where Wisconsin is not only has not only gone conservative, but very, very, I think extreme is not too strong a word, extremely conservative. But the broad data about generational attitudes suggests that that is a swing of the pendulum, and that pendulum is going to swing back. The younger generation in Wisconsin looks a lot more like their grandparents than their parents, if I can put it that way.
Yeah. And you thought there were also some parallels here with Proposition 8 in California?
Well, not so much some parallels as some interesting, you know, ironic reversals. So in both cases, there was a state referendum that resulted in a state constitutional decision banning gay marriage. The California case was decided on federal grounds, not on state grounds, whereas this case is being challenged on the state grounds. Here, the statute being challenged would give benefits to same-sex couples and is being challenged as a violation of the Constitution. The interesting parallel, though, which I'd like to bring up, is that in the federal case that went to the U.S. Supreme Court from California, the U.S. Supreme Court was able to duck the underlying issue by saying that the parties didn't have standing. It's a technical legal term that means basically unless you have an individual or personal stake in the outcome, you can't bring a lawsuit. The rules for standing in Wisconsin are a little different. They're broader than that. And interestingly, one of the key cases defining those rules was a challenge to the anti-same-sex marriage constitutional amendment. But there is the possibility that the state Supreme Court could say to Family Action, look, you have no dog in this fight. Granting benefits to same-sex couples doesn't harm you in any way. Therefore, you have no standing to bring this case. That's an issue that was not addressed in the Court of Appeals at all. It would be a way for the state Supreme Court to duck having to answer the legal question if they want to. And I think that's something to watch.
We are talking with Howard Schwaber, a professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison. We're talking about the domestic partner registry that goes before the state Supreme Court tomorrow. And we're wondering what might happen. We're welcoming your thoughts and questions, whether or not you think the state's domestic partner registry should be upheld or struck down. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Are domestic partner benefits substantially similar to those awarded to married couples, or are they significantly less? What about the procedure for signing up for the domestic partner registry? Is that too similar to marriage? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 22nd. We are talking about the state Supreme Court hearing arguments tomorrow on whether or not Wisconsin's domestic partnership registry is constitutional. We are talking with a guest, a political and legal expert, about the rationale from both sides and whether or not this registry will be upheld and what this might mean for the future of legalized same-sex marriage in Wisconsin or not. And I am just, I'm really surprised that we have open lines. Nobody has an opinion on this one? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The pledge drive is over, everybody. It's safe to listen again. No. Join us with your questions and your comments on this. But I wanted to ask you also, Professor Schwaber, I know you haven't had a, we didn't ask you to talk about this, and you haven't had a chance to really beef up on all the arguments, but I wanted your reaction to the story in the news this morning that a Dane County judge has found Governor Walker's employment relations commissioners in contempt of court for defying his orders or his finding last year that Act 10 was unconstitutional. In yesterday's ruling, Circuit Judge Juan Colas will give teachers and local government workers the ability to immediately enter into labor negotiations with their bosses, likely result in the cancellation of union recertification elections set for November, and would grant official state recognition of a Kenosha teachers union that had been decertified. Your reaction to this ruling first?
Well, I should start by saying that while I was away, I did not follow this the Act 10 controversy terribly closely, so I might be a little behind. Everything I've seen suggests that so the judge's name is Colas. He's a circuit court judge in Dane County. He pretty much stands alone, as far as I know, in declaring Act 10 to be unconstitutional. There have been repeated other challenges that have failed. There are some specific issues still waiting for resolution by the state Supreme Court on this one. What he's saying has to do with the idea of the power of injunction, that having declared the law unconstitutional, he also has the authority to issue an order preventing the government from going ahead and applying the law. And the government has ignored him on that point and gone ahead and proceeded with certification elections, particularly with respect to a teachers union in Milwaukee and one in Madison. I mean, technically, he's right. He has the authority to do this. It does seem pretty clear that he stands, if not alone, at least in a very distinct minority. I think what it points to is the need for the state Supreme Court to step in and resolve the remaining legal issues here. Whether one hates Act 10 or thinks it's a great thing is in some sense not even as important as being able to have resolution to what the legal authorities and rights of various parties are so we can move forward.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Supreme Court did announce that it will take up the challenge to the state's collective bargaining law, Act 10, on November 11th. The court will hear oral arguments in the case more than a year after Dane County District Judge Juan Colas struck down several portions of the law. And Lester Pines, a lawyer representing the plaintiffs in the case, says he expects the court would issue a decision sometime in late winter or spring. So more on that later. But I know it's an issue that a lot of people are following. So in essence, what this judge said was stop trying to decertify unions, stop unions and municipalities or school boards can continue to negotiate as though Act 10 didn't pass, at least until this issue is resolved. Is that, in essence, what this ruling means?
Essentially, that's right. And, mm-hmm. and he's saying it on the basis of the authority of the court. So contempt of court is a power that's used when someone ignores what a judge says. You know, he's right, you're wrong, pay him the $100 you owe him. No, I refuse. That's contempt of court. Here we have the state of Wisconsin refusing to follow the judge's ruling. But in the state's defense, the ruling is a bit of an outlier. And the original case involved two particular unions that had ongoing contracts. As you said at the beginning, I have not really had mm-hmm. the opportunity to look into this deeply, but it does look to me as though he may be overreaching.
All right, back to our discussion at hand on the state's domestic partnership registry. It goes before the Wisconsin Supreme Court tomorrow. Back in 2006, Wisconsin voters approved a constitutional amendment that banned same-sex marriage. It defined marriage as only between a man and a woman and also included the clause, a legal status identical or substantially similar to that of marriage for unmarried individuals shall not be valid or recognized in this state. So the question before the court is a domestic partnership registry, which grants some rights and protections to same-sex couples, substantially similar to marriage. And we're wondering what you want the Supreme Court to decide on this one. Cody in Oshkosh is with us. Hello, Cody.
Hello there. Just the sound of a registry sounds discriminatory. I don't know that much about it. I was wondering if the guests could just describe the process. I know we had the constitutional ban on an off presidential year. Could we get it back on the ballot, and what would be the chances of who could instigate that? And is that all that's required, or does the Congress have to then approve that?
So how does that work? How would that work in Wisconsin to repeal the constitutional amendment that we have on the books?
Well, it would require a new constitutional amendment, and that would require going through the houses of the legislature. It's a very long and involved process to bring an amendment like that before the people. And that's one of the points I was making earlier. You know, it took an enormous amount of effort, and it was a very contested effort to get that amendment onto the ballot and to pass it. And whatever one thinks of it, you know, I think there's a certain degree of exhaustion in the state. I wonder if one of the reasons we're not getting more callers on the show is that a lot of people's reaction is, I hate to put it this way, but who cares? That is, people who support the amendment might nonetheless feel that they don't want to get ginned up for a big fight over this registry. People who oppose the amendment don't really think that this registry makes such a big difference that, you know, it makes mm-hmm. the amendment okay. This is really a sideshow to a big fight, and for the moment, that big fight seems to be over. It's a very long, very difficult, and involved process. to that has to go through the legislature, which is currently controlled by Republicans, of course, to bring a matter onto the ballot for a constitutional amendment. It's unlikely to happen in the short term. I should think it would be, just as a matter of political will and inertia, at least a couple of years before that's likely to happen.
Yeah, it's got to pass two consecutive sessions of the legislature and then also pass the referendum question on a statewide ballot.
That's right. And we're talking about a legislature that, obviously, with respect to which, obviously, the majority has every interest in the world in not seeing that go to the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Dan in Ripon is with us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, good morning. I've got a question relative to this registry and just the legal aspect of people being able to marry. You said there was a Wisconsin voted, or the people voted, so to speak, not to permit gay marriage in the state. Isn't the argument really about its legal standing rather than having a majority of people just disagree with some aspect of a law? For example, in the South, in the 40s and 50s, the majority of people didn't want people to have the right to vote. But legally, their standing was, yes, a human being should have the right to vote. And isn't this the same situation with gay marriage? It's certainly, I'm not sure about certainly, but, a lot of people don't agree with the idea of having gay or lesbians being able to marry, but it's not really about the majority rule here. Just because the majority believes that something is not acceptable does not make it legally sound, correct?
Well, that's absolutely right. What Dan's comments get to are the difference between state constitutions and the U.S. Constitution. In both cases, the Constitution stands as higher law, and ordinary statutes that contravene those constitutions are invalid. But at the state level, constitutions are adopted essentially by majority vote, with a complicated procedure that Joy, you just described. At the federal level, we think differently. At the federal level, we think that rights entrenched in the national constitution apply nationally so that regional prejudices or state prejudices, I don't mean prejudice, preferences, shouldn't matter, no matter how strongly or widely they're held. So if there is a persuasive argument that same-sex marriage, recognition of same-sex marriage, is required by the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, that would end the debate. A federal judge in California, Von Walker, reached exactly that conclusion. The U.S. Supreme Court didn't disagree with him. They evaded the issue on that standing point that I mentioned earlier. Unless and until we have an authoritative ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court on that question, different federal courts will be able to answer Dan's question. Is this not just a fundamental right that supersedes the democratic process? But in the absence of a ruling by a federal court on that question, we're back in the state law level, in the state constitution level, and those questions are decided politically.
Howard Schwaber, thanks very much for being with us. I think that a lot of people were just interested in hearing the information and just didn't want to call in. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It is a pleasure.
Howard Schwaber, professor of political science and legal studies at UW-Madison and an affiliate faculty member of the UW Law School. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Cynthia Schuster, and to Robin Cherry. I'm Joy Cardine.